This is our final message in our series on the Holy Spirit, and so Pastor Elmer Murnock will be coming and sharing that message today. So open up your hearts to all that he has for us. Dad, come and share with us what the Lord's put on your heart today.
This morning I'm going to speak on the subject they've asked me to, which is the fullness of the Holy Spirit and you, which is what I've given it. And if you have your Bibles with you, I will turn you to Acts chapter 1. I said 2. Luke is a great book. He wrote two books, the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts. And he wrote to his friend Theophilus, and will come down after the resurrection. Verse 2, until the day in which he, Jesus, was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he showed himself alive after his passion, his sufferings, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he had heard. The promise of the Father was the promise the Father gave to the Son, that he would give him the right and authority to pour out the Holy Spirit. That was the promise of the Father. And in Luke 24, you'll find, and it says, but you tarry in Jerusalem, but wait in Jerusalem until. Until is a time word. Don't leave this room until I'm finished. Thank you. Don't go home until we're done. Thank you. Until is a time word. And our Lord said to the apostles in Luke 24, do not wait in Jerusalem until you have received the promise of the Holy Spirit that the Father promised me. That is a promise specifically worked out between the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, that in the work of redemption, Christ would at a given time in his ministry receive the gift of the Holy Spirit to be poured out on his people. And that's what he's talking about. Verse 5, for John the Baptist, or baptizer, truly baptized with water, but you should be baptized, immersed with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. When therefore they were come together, they asked him, saying, well, this is so wonderful. The Lord is alive and well. He's back from the dead. I'm sure he's going to get Israel back in the place that should be. Kick the Romans out, and let's get Israel where it belongs and give us a king that truly reflects God. When they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, would you at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he, our Lord, said unto them, it is not for you to know this. Some things we're supposed to know, some things we're not. It's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. Now, he's got all kinds of power, but he continues, but this is what you should know. You can't know that schedule. I have my schedule for Israel and for the church and so forth. I have my schedule. I have another schedule I'd be glad to tell you about, and I can't wait to tell you. What is it? It's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power, but you shall receive power, since we're talking about the Father's power, but you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, not in you, but upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Our Father, speak words I never said. Give emphasis no man can give. Give revelation, which is your priority and your prerogative and in your power. Lord, take the words of man and men. Illuminate them to our hearts so that they have eternal bearing and meaning for us in the now. Speak to every heart in one way or another. Speak to every heart, we pray, and we'll bless you for it in Jesus' name. Now, this is the Sunday that was talking about the Holy Spirit and the fullness of his life in you. And that's why I've read that text. And I want to show you what's involved in this in some way, not because it's so hard and profound, it isn't, but it's there to be seen. And we have here, first of all, here's you. This is how everybody comes into this world. This way, without the Spirit of God in them, everybody has a human spirit. I was with a man this past week who cursed God and blasphemed him and said, he told God where to go, and he said, I don't want a funeral. Well, I said, calling him by name, you're not a dog. If you were a dog, we'd bury you like a dog. Now, I know him well enough to talk this way. We'd bury like a dog. But you're not a dog. I go to hell. I'll go to hell. I says, God's got better plans for you than that. You're not a dog. If you're a dog, we'd bury you like a dog. You've got to have a funeral. He doesn't realize that he has in him a human spirit which is given to him by God. And every one of you sitting out there, the difference between you and every animal, no matter how great it is, he does not have, the animal does not have a human spirit which is created by God. That's why God is called the Father of Spirits. And God created your spirit uniquely you. There's no other person in human history. You could clone the body. You can't clone the spirit. I'm not for cloning either. And so you have a human spirit that separates you from all of creation. You have a human spirit. It was made in the image of God. So you can be conscious of God, know about God, and be indwelt by God. You're not the result of time and slime and pressure called evolution. You're not the result. You're not the result of an evolutional hiccup. And I like what Ray Comfort says. Oh yes, he gave one definition of evolution in one sentence. Evolution is the teaching that everything came from nothing. What do you think of that? That's the teaching that everything came from nothing. Because they can't give you origin. They never give you origin. Where did it first become? The warm sea, the slop, the mud, the whatever. Everything came from nothing. So be it. You're not that way. You are, I told this man, I said, listen, God has so much better plans for you than hell. God has so much better plans for you than hell. He loves you. God's not on my side. He is on your side. Christ died for you. And that's why, because you have a human spirit made in his image. Now, you are here when you repent and believe. You come and find that in your human spirit now comes the Holy Spirit. Comes the Holy Spirit. Now you are in the process of being restored to what God had in mind for you after the fall of man. After Adam and Eve bombed out and blew it, God did not give up. Listen, we were lost, but not abandoned. And there's a whale of a pile of difference. How many of you watch Lifeguards or Alaska? Alaska's... I like that. They get about 4 shows in Alaska where the Coast Guard goes and rescues people, tries to, and do some wonderful things. And every once in a while, there's this awful, awful line that comes across and says, we are now abandoning our search. They were lost and abandoned. Now, we were lost but not abandoned because God sent forth his Son. And here you have the human spirit and the Holy Spirit. May I use my sanctified imagination for a moment? Can you see our Lord talking to Gabriel? And Gabriel is the messenger angel. And he says, Gabriel, I'm going down to earth. Where are you going, Lord? What's your destination? I'm going down to earth. Well, what is your destination? My first destination is Mary's womb. Mary's womb, Lord? But you're God. I know. That's my destination. Now, my final one, but it's my first one. Well, after that, what's your destination? Well, it will be the manger at Bethlehem. Oh. Well, all right, Lord, but then what? Well, then I'm going to have to go to Egypt because Herod's going to try and kill me, and I'll flee down there. My destination next will be Egypt. And then what? After time, he'll die, and I will then come back, and I will come back to Nazareth, my hometown. And then what's your destination, Lord? Well, I'm going to minister in Judea and Samaria for the next number of years when I become public in my ministry. And then my next destination is the cross. The cross. The cross. What's after that? Well, then my next destination is the tomb. Really? Then what? My next destination is the resurrection at my Father's right hand. I've made the full cycle. Oh, good Lord, this is where you belong. You're not going to go anyplace after that, are you? Oh, yes, he said, I have another destination. What is my final destination? I will tell you, Gabriel. I will go down, and my final destination is to live in the hearts of men. That's why you have the human spirit and the Holy Spirit. His destination was you, for His Spirit to come into you, and then not only to come into you, but to fill you with the Holy Spirit. Here you're saved, you're loved, you're going to heaven, your sins are forgiven, the Lord answers many prayers, and you're His child. But the purpose of His coming was not only to get you from here to here, but to get you from here to here, so that your human spirit, now converted, is filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, here we have the scripture that teaches, what part of a man knows the man, except the spirit of the man himself? So your spirit in you knows you. I think, therefore I am, the philosopher said. Over here you have Romans 8:16. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Say with me, the Spirit Himself bears witness with my spirit that I'm a child of God. And that's how you know you're saved, plus the fruit that comes out of your life as a result of His coming into your life. But listen now, that was not the end. In chapter 2 of Acts, and verse 32 and 33. And Peter's exhorting the people on the day of Pentecost. And by the way, this is Pentecost Sunday. Would you believe that? And Peter is exhorting the people on Pentecost Sunday, explaining to them that these people aren't drunk. This is they're speaking in tongues, and people that knew their languages gathered around them. These people aren't drunk. It's too early in the morning. Then he says, this doesn't refer to David. David's still in the tomb. His body's still with us, but it said of this one that God would not leave this Jesus Christ to rot in the grave. He would not leave His body to be eaten by worms, but rather He'd be raised to the right hand of the Father, which has happened. You all know that we give witness to His resurrection. And that this Jesus has God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, He has poured forth that which ye now see and hear, which was the fullness of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that our Lord Jesus, in His final destination, was to go right back up to the Father's right hand, receive from Him the power to pour out the Holy Ghost, which He did. Pentecost began. That was the beginning of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that began in Acts 2 and went around the world. And that's why, you see, this is history. The point is, what's your personal history? This is history. This is biblical. This is scriptural. What is your biblical, scriptural experience with the Spirit of God? Now, this is what God has in mind for you. You are His destination. Your heart is His destination. Your spirit is His destination. Not only to convert when you repent and believe, not only to convert and to bless you, but you know Christ died for us to save us from our sins, Romans 5:8. For God introduced His love to us, and that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for our sins. So vast, so great, if there were 10 worlds the size of this world with the same population that did nothing but sin for 100 years, His blood would cover every sin in its efficiency. Say amen. Thank you. Otherwise, you and I are out of it. Now, Christ died to save us from our sins, Romans 5:8. He died and rose and ascended into heaven to fill you with the Holy Spirit. Now, here you are before you're converted. You have a human spirit, but you have nothing of the Spirit of God in you. You're made in God's image. You can become God conscious. You can know He's there. But He's not in you yet. You're wonderful. You're the top of God's creation. Everyone is a creature of God. Not everyone is a child of God. You only become a child of God when the Spirit comes into you. Everyone is loved of God. He loves everyone with the love of pity, but not everybody with the love of approval. He loves you with the love of pity. When you repent and believe, He loves you with the love of approval, because His Son's blood has forgiven you of your sin and brought you into the family. So here you and I were, unsaved, having a successful life or a down-out life, a trouble-free life or a life that's full of the pits, whatever life. Here we are. We're living on this earth. You have life. It's a gift. It's a gift of God, but the Spirit of God isn't in us. Then you come along, and in God's mercy, you repent and believe in Him, and when that happens, He puts some of His Spirit, He puts His Spirit in you. And there you are. This has nothing. This has some. You're converted. You know the Lord. You have a new sensitivity to sin. You can sin, but you can't enjoy it anymore. Not for long. And you have an interest in the Word of God. You have an interest in people that aren't saved. You want to see others saved. You may not know what to say or do, but in your heart, it's your desire that they too should come to saving faith, that they should come to know this. And it's hard with your family, maybe hard with your unsaved husband or wife or friends, but you know you're different. You know you're changed. Like one man said, when I got saved, I lost half of my vocabulary. And so God makes different changes in people's life. But the biggest change is that we want to please Him. We don't always get it done, but inside is a new want to. That was not there before. All I wanted before was for God to hear my prayer when I was in trouble and bail me out, and I'll see you later, alligator. That was it, all right? But now when you're saved, you're beginning in, you may be stumbling a lot, but in you there's a new want to please Him. And you want to find out what He has for you in His life and His truth. And the promises tell you that you're forgiven, you're His child, and He will take you to heaven. But He has meaning and purpose for you while you're here. And so this is where you are. I was here for about 9 years as a child of God and in the ministry before this. And He has ascended to the Father's right hand and poured forth and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Now let me ask you, have you been filled with the Spirit? You know you're saved? Wonderful. The same Spirit that tells you that you're saved wants to tell you that you're filled. And the Holy Spirit will not kidnap anybody. He's not going to ramrod anybody. The Holy Spirit's a dove, not a hawk. Back when we were ministering here in this city, we first began back in 68 and began teaching these truths that not only can people, no problem, repent and believe, become converted, and have the Lord put His Spirit in them, but to also teach the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Teach this. Now, you ran into a lot of opposition on that because some of you have been taught by sweet, godly people that when you're saved, you got the Holy Spirit, and you can't get Him in parts, so He can get more of you, but you can't get more of Him because you got a person, you can't get a person in parts, and so you got Him, and that's all it. You just kind of grow more, love more. He can get more of you, but you can't get more of Him. Well, that was kind of interesting, if not contradictory. If I can't get more of Him as a person, how come He can get more of me if I'm a person? Secondly, if He can get more of me as a finite, limited person, how come I can't get more of Him as an infinite, unlimited person? The heaven of heavens cannot contain Him. And so, some of you may be taught by sweet and godly people that this is what you get, and after that you just grow. And I was there for a while, a long time, thinking, well, now maybe when I get real old, maybe when I get real old, maybe then I will kind of grow into fullness and I get filled with the Spirit somehow before I go to heaven. Now, that was kind and sincere, but it's not true. It's wrong. Because the Scripture teaches us that God hath poured forth the Holy Spirit that we might be filled with His Spirit. Because His promise says that you should be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And then when it was fulfilled in Acts 2, it says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, just like you know you're saved, you can know that you're filled. As I began, I find opposition to this because people were afraid of that this was not for today, the gifts are not for today, you get along on this, and there's a few gifts of administration and faith and a few other things, but any signed gifts like tongues, interpretation, healing, miracles of that nature, they're all gone until they all died out in 90 A.D., and they won't start again until God starts dealing with Israel way down the end of the age, and then the gifts will be manifested, because if they're manifested now in this parentheses church period, the Jews are here, and the Jews are there, the miracles are here, and the miracles are there, and they can't happen here. Back in my home state of Rhode Island, there was a good Bible school called Providence Bible Institute. And they wanted to buy, because they were downtown, they'd been there for years, and they had opportunity to buy a Roman Catholic school, college campus, about 20 miles out of town. Barrington Bible College, they called it. And it's a gorgeous place. They put in their bid. and somebody else put in their bid for that same campus. And believe it or not, thank God, the Bible school put in a bid, and when they opened it, hundreds of thousands of dollars, of course, when they opened it, Providence Bible Institute's bid was $1 more than the other bidder. And we're talking hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars. And they just looked at it and said, well, okay, hold the horses right here. Which game are you guys playing? There must be some collusion here. You see, got some backdoor deals to get a better deal? They said, no way, we don't even know that. Oh, no, yeah. They finally had to prove him. We didn't know this. It was $1. $1 they bought, got the campus on $1, and they were so excited, and they had a right to be. And they went back, the guy in charge of PR went back to Bill to write an article in the newsletter for the school. The Miracle Dollar Campus. Oh, I say, yeah. Guess what? The school made him take that title away. You know why? Because they taught miracles are not for today, and you can have a $1 miracle. Can it? Change it. Now, folks, that happened. That's for real. And things like that have limited and bound and weakened the church. It's hard enough when you believe in all the power of God and believe all the gifts of Spirit. That's what happened. Now, today's enemies are not that way. I think people have settled down in the charismatic movement, which came in, began in the mid-60s and went really well till the mid-80s. And now it's been, here it is, 85, 95. We're 25 years past the charismatic movement, and many of you don't even remember it because you weren't even born. And that's okay. There's no, if it's a sin to be 25, we've all committed it. If we haven't, we're going to. Okay. Now you're right back up to the same teaching needing to come around again. It's wonderful to be saved. It's wonderful to become his child. God wants that. But that is not all. Filled with the Spirit is normal Christian living for every child of God, not for Pastor so-and-so, David Livingston, Billy. It is for you. It is for you today if your heart is ready to believe for it. And that's normal because his making a destination for you was to conform you to his image. You are called into the fellowship of his son. And this is for the reasons we teach this. And so here we are. Now, there's preparation. You didn't come to Christ, most of you didn't come to Christ from unsaved to saved the first time you heard the gospel. Some few did. I've met them. Some few. And so God may have been preparing you, went to Sunday school, mom and dad prayed for you, you had a Christian friend, whatever, and you finally came to repent and believe and say, oh, thank God I got converted. Now, between here and here, I was 10 years for me. It shouldn't be 10 years. It wasn't 10 years in the New Testament. First of all, I wasn't taught anything about it. If I did, it went over my head. That I am a child of God, I knew. That I was called to the ministry, I knew. That I was out sharing Christ, I knew. And laboring to be faithful. So when I started hearing this teaching, it put me back into my heels. I thought, there's something wrong here. This man's a heretic teaching this. I'm going to study the Word of God. And so for 1 year, and it won't take you that long, I went studying from here to here to see if that's valid. Now, it is valid. It's biblical. Paul was saved on the road to Damascus dynamically, once in the Bible, kind of in a conversion. The Lord Jesus from heaven speaks to him. He didn't need step up to life. He didn't need four spiritual laws. He just spoke to Paul and said, Paul, it's hard for you to kick against the goad. I'm the one you're persecuting. I'm the one that loves you. Oh, Lord, what do you want me to do? Converted, led to the Lord himself by the Lord himself. How could that be any better? How could it be any more dynamic? Impossible, my Spanish friends. And yet, the Lord puts him in a house of Judas, not Iscariot, for 3 days, fasting, praying, waiting on God. And he doesn't let him out of the house, literally, until he sends Ananias, who comes in and says, Brother Saul, I know you came here to chew up the church, to put us all in jail, get us stoned and killed. We know that. But the Lord who appeared to you on the way has appeared to me and sent me to you that A, you might receive your sight, good, and B, that you might be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, if Paul, with this unbelievable once-in-a-Bible-time conversion, believed in the Lord and the Spirit of God came into him on the road to Damascus right there, if that weren't enough,
having that type of revelation experience with the risen Christ himself, but rather he waits and sends Ananias to him, that he lays hands on him, that he might be filled with the Spirit 3 days later. Then and only then will he let him out of the house to begin sharing, witnessing, preaching. Then and only then. If that is what's true with Paul, where does that leave you and me? And the good news is, it leaves you exactly where you were with Paul, saved, knew the Lord, coming along, now you need to be filled with the Spirit. That's normal Christianity. This is not super-duper Christianity. This is not leather-bound edition. We're not talking a paperback version versus the leather-bound. This is normal Christianity, because the reason, among others, that God wants to feed you with the Spirit is that, A, there'll be an increase of the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temptness, and self-control. The Spirit himself manifests his own life and fruits. The Spirit himself wants to give you his enablements called the gifts of the Spirit. This is part of the reason, because God's on the way to something. This is not, oh, well, I'm saved, going to heaven, praise God, where's my golf clubs or my tennis racket or my fishing rod or my stamp collection, or my iPad, or whatever else. You know what the enemies today are? You know what will keep you from being filled with the Holy Spirit? Not because you're wicked, bad guys. I'll tell you what will do it. Distractions. Attractions. Fatigue. Busyness. Apathy. I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, praise God. Now I'm okay. You're not okay. You're okay to be okay, but not to stay okay like that. Okay? This is normal Christianity. Listen, Christ died for your sins. He also died to fill you with the Holy Spirit. That was part of a Calvary purchase by his ascension and being at the Father's right hand so he could receive from the Father this promise and pour out the life of the Holy Ghost to fill his people. Being filled with the Spirit is normal Christianity, not super duper. Now, the one reason the church is so weak across, except where these truths are understood, is that if you take this out, you know the challenges we face being Spirit-filled and knowing the gifts of the Spirit. You know the challenges we face. Take that out, and you have a club, almost. You have a human organization. Can you imagine trying to build a road like West Dodge with a teaspoon? Or a shovel? Or 8 shovels? The gifts of the Spirit are the tools of the Spirit for life. Spiritual work must be done in a spiritual way. And this begins with here. And we want the church fully conscious of their place, Spirit-filled. And being filled with the Spirit is not graduating as a senior. It's enrolling as a freshman. Say that again. That is not the end of the line. That's the beginning of life, normal life, on another level. A normal level for every child of God. And you have to grow in this, and we can fail over in this side. But we know we've been filled once, and we grow in this and learn on this level and go up from here, learning to walk in the Spirit after this. All right? Now, dear ones, that being the case, take your little card. How are we doing here? The purpose of God's work is to restore you to fellowship. Next one, please. The fullness of the Spirit produces a new awareness of God. There's a great verse in the Old Testament. Jacob is fleeing from the wrath of his brother, and he camps out for the night on the way to his father-in-law to be. And he's there, and a vision comes to him of an angel and a ladder going up and down to heaven. And he before he's there in the desert using a rock for a pillow. And he said, "Verily, God was in this place," or "truly, God was here, and I did not know it." It wasn't that God wasn't there before. God manifested himself at that spot to him. But as far as Jacob was concerned, he thought God was back with Abraham, his father, who was a godly man. I know he's back there, but out here in this wilderness, I'm all by my onesies, and the Lord manifests himself, says, "You're not." And he says, "Verily, I thought I was here alone, but God is in this place." And when you're filled with the Spirit, you begin to understand that God is there. And you begin to see or feel things, and even God may show you things you didn't ever have happen to you before. whether you spoke in tongues or didn't, or prophesied and didn't, among other things, the gifts of the Spirit, is you have a new awareness of God, and it's up a level from that. And you're prepared, your antenna's up like this, and you receive things that you didn't know before as you seek the face of God and love Him and in the Word. It's just, I mean, what? Stay right on your job. You're a computer operator, stay on your be a computer man. Be a programmer. Be a housewife. Be a businessman. Sell insurance. Do what you want. But you are different because now you have become full of the Spirit and you're more attuned and up to a level of listening, like having these antenna. Now, if you're going to be full of the Spirit, you're going to have to make sure that's your desire. God will not kidnap you. Now, He won't force fullness on you. He's a dove, not a hawk. Blessed are they, and well, let's take a look at it. Now, let's take a look at this. Here you begin. Where are you this morning? Everybody, look, I am bent on helping people find spiritual reality. Facts, theology, truth, and teaching, yes, that will precede it. Step up to life, got five steps. Teaching the truth at each step. Inform the mind correctly. Inform the mind biblically. Yes, when you're done that, and that in itself is a task many places, once you're there, you then come back to the steps, just like I have steps on this, I have steps on Step Up to Life, to find out where people are spiritually. I know where their mind is. I can inform their mind. You can inform their mind. Wonderful. How can you believe if you don't know? Now I know. Wonderful. Have you repented and believed? Yes. Now, where you are spiritually is where you are spiritually. Let's say, okay, you've been born again. Praise God. Your life was changed. Praise God. This is 25 years ago. Praise God. It was last week. Praise God. Whenever. I am born again and He's my Lord. You've seen the changes. You know He's your Lord and you want it that way and you love Him and you're serving the best you know. And this is where you are today. For some of you, you may be hearing this for the very first time. For some of you, you're hearing it for the 10th time, but you are really hearing it for the first time. Because today you may be hearing it with the ears of your heart. And maybe you were like I was. Whoever taught me, if anybody did, it was whoosh over my head. I never got it. There's a timing. There's a timing in God's life for you. So where are you today? Okay, I'm born again, and He's my Lord. I'm not fighting Him. I love Him. I do the best I know, and I want to please Him. I kind of read my Bible. I pray for the lost, and I want to please the Lord. Praise God. That's normal. That little baby up here, Nicholas Timothy. Normal little baby looking at me. Can't do much. Can eat. Can cry. Can sleep. Needs to be changed, and he's on the way. Okay. All normal. I don't expect him to get up and take the offering. That's beyond him. But he's got all the qualities of life to qualify for a real, honest-to-goodness baby. Thank God you're there. Now, the next question I want to ask you, where are you? Do you see being filled with the Spirit as something in the Word of God? Because no matter, if I change my mind tomorrow and cast the whole thing away, if you've seen it in the Word of God, you'll say it doesn't make any difference. Pray for Pastor Murray, he's lost it all, but they're still in the Word of God. So it makes no difference whether Dr. So-and-so or Willie Lump-Lump or somebody else comes along and says it's not true. I see it in the Word, the everlasting, non-changing Word of God. So are you that far? Do you see being filled with the Spirit is in the Word of God? Now, for a lot of people, hey, that took me a year to get there in the way that I'm teaching it. And I mean, I was burning away almost every day. I'm checking that. Being filled with the Spirit. I'm already saved. What's your problem, man? I love God. I'm called to ministry. What's your problem, man? Who do you think you are? Now, either you're right and I'm wrong, or I'm right and you're wrong. Now, one of us has got to go. And that's what I said about the man teaching it. But I also knew I had to check it out with the Word of God, which I did. It won't take you all. God put me through this so I can help others. You don't have to go. I'm not going to give you my problem just so I can help you solve it. If you see it in the Word of God, you see it in the Word of God. And in this church, in our previous church, the flavor and the atmosphere was all there to favor this and to bless you and encourage you. Okay, I see being filled with the Spirit. If Paul was saved here, and dynamically so, and he had to get filled with the Spirit, 3 days later, see, that's the text that got me off dead center. As an ordained Baptist preacher, This I knew. I knew people get saved. I know I get saved. I know God, people get called to ministry. And Paul even got called to ministry there, by the way. And that I knew. But when I got to this 3 day later stuff, I was thrown like woozy. What? Now, that doesn't sound like much to you, but you're back in my shoes. That's my struggle. A big struggle. My friends are going to think I'm nutty. They're going to think I become a holy roller. They're going to think a lot of things. My good preacher friends. And I'm struggling with this. But when I got to that, now look, there are two things you've got to have in your Christian life, among other things. It's this: spiritual integrity and intellectual honesty. I had to look at that text in Acts 9 and say this is either true or it's not true. And I wasn't going to lie, so I said, yeah, whatever it was, something happened to Paul 3 days later. That's called fullness. The second thing was I going to be honest with the text? My mind finds it, okay, my mind will buy it. Now, is my spirit going to go along and say, then I need to be filled? And I was not sure because I was a hotshot youth leader. And I had my whole ministry to all 40 people on Sunday, okay? So I had to have spiritual integrity to say, and I won't go into why and how, the Lord spoke to me through a dear brother, I'm not filled with the Spirit, but I need to be. And you know, for preachers, their theology dies hard, and their pride dies hard, because hotshot Murdoch had to become no-shot Murdoch, and realize you haven't been filled with the Holy Ghost yet. You've been ordained, you're preaching, and you have not yet been filled with the Spirit of God. You love me and all that, it hasn't happened yet. And you never can be filled until you realize you haven't been. And you won't get filled unless you are hungry to be. Now, I saw it, fullness in the Word of God, I saw it. Then my heart struggle was then to see, this is for me. I'm not Billy Graham. I'm not David Livingston. I don't have a church of 500 people. I've got 40 people out here in the country who hardly don't even want me preaching the gospel. God's surely not going to fill me in this little backwater place, 40 miles from everywhere. And it took me a long time to get realized, be you filled, well, you're a you. Be ye filled, you're a ye. Ye wants to fill you, and I struggle with that. Why would he feel little on me? I'm out here, nobody knows me from a hole in the wall. That doesn't make any difference. God cares about you because you are part of the body of Christ. And your body is your full life. If your name is Smith, all through your body is Smith life. So God wants you as a member of his spiritual body to fill you with his life. It's for you. It is for you, believe me. Now, am I hungry to be filled? Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Not saved. These are saved people. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. They're already righteous in Jesus. More of his life. Oh. Okay. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be saved. No, they'll be filled. That's the fourth beatitude. They were saved in the first beatitude, filled in the fourth. Where are you? Are you hungry to be filled? How hungry? Right about here, you're going to start making up priorities. You got your job, your friends, social networking. Where are you? Where's your heart? I know you're saved. Are you hungry to be filled? This is normal Christianity. Christ died to save you. Christ died to fill you. Has that been achieved yet? Because he's going to get the glory out of it. The only glory God gets out of me is the glory God puts in me. The only glory he gets out of you is the glory God puts in you. When he puts his life in, he comes out, he's glorified. More of him in, more of him comes out. In service, humility, fruits of the Spirit, gifts, prayer, intercession, witnessing, whatever. This is not some super-duper version. This is standard New Testament preaching of the good news that includes this. Am I hungry to be filled? Now, it took me a long time to learn how to do this. The last step. I know he will fill me. Now, I've met people in every step here. I've been on every step there. And this is not a 10-year plan. It's not a 10-month plan. It's a heart plan according to your hunger and faith as you proceed toward God. You might have come hungry to be filled with the Holy Ghost today. I don't know. God knows our timing, our schedule, and so forth. And you may have come and say, what? I never heard this before. I'm going to begin in. Yep. Find out. Where are you on this staircase? There's no sin to be anywhere on this staircase, provided you have a heart toward him. This is not a sin test. This is a synthesis test, so that his life coming into your spirit will be embellished and imparted imparted and enlarged, called the fullness of the Spirit. And when people are filled with the Spirit, they know it. You don't have to have lightning and thunder. When God filled me, I didn't prophesy, I didn't speak in tongues, I didn't fall over, I didn't do anything. All I know is that something happened here, and the Spirit of God came over the threshold of my life in a whole new way. And a week later, 2 weeks later, I began to see things in my life. I thought, what? Now I know that was fullness. Now you're having help here. You're having clarity here. I'm just hamboning my way through this on my own, and I'm trying to help you to see, make it easy. But you know one thing? Nobody can be hungry for God except you. No one can make you hungry and thirsty except you. Now God will draw, incline, woo, invite, say, come unto me that I might fill you with my Spirit. He will not ramrod it. He will not kidnap you. Blessed are they who've made the priority choice. I'll seek the Lord until I know I'm filled. And for the time being, that becomes your priority. Not because you assigned it, but it was a heart response to truth. No one's going to ramrod you. No one's going to chase you out the door and say, hey, have you been filled yet? I want to get... No, 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 no. If I be lifted up, I will draw, not drag, all men to myself. Now, I'll tell you, you can have hunger. I want reality here. I want reality. I don't want a decision. I don't want five cards with people saying they got saved and they really just convicted and didn't even want to repent. I don't want people signing a card they got filled when they believed it was all true. And you can have easy believism on fullness just like you can have it on salvation. You teach them this. You want to be filled? Yes. Say this after me, A, B, C, D. And when we put people through the 1, 2, 3 of this, they have received an inoculation against the real thing. How many people I've had come to me and say, well, I've had 3 people pray for me and I'm not filled with the Spirit yet. I said, look, let's stop right here. Don't let anybody else pray for you to be filled, including me, until we settle some things. Hold it, stop now. We want reality. What do you think I would do? I'd take them back here. Let's start at the bottom. You're saved? Yes. Proof and evidence? Yeah. You see it in the Word? Yeah. This is for you? Fine. Are you hungry to be filled? Yeah. How hungry? Well, I'm pretty hungry. Now, some people are going to get filled on 10 ounces of hunger, and some will get filled unless they have about 30 pounds. Depends on the person. Now, here's the thing. You will know whether you have enough hunger or not if you come to the top step. What does it say? I know he'll fill me. And the thing that found reality helped me so much to help people find reality, because you can have people with desperate hunger and no faith. Hear me. Big, big truth. You can have people with hunger, even desperate hunger, who don't have faith to be filled. How does it work? You're hungry to be filled? Oh, yeah. Oh, how hungry? Oh, I'm really hungry. How long are you hungry? 3 weeks. Oh, I want to be filled. Let me ask you. When you ask the Lord in prayer to fill you, do you know he will? Not wish, think, or hope. Do you know he will? And if you don't know, it's okay. You're here. I hope so. I think so. I want it, but they don't have faith for that. Praise God for desperate hunger. But there's a great difference between desperate hunger and saying, yes, I know he will. What I do when I find the person with hunger, desperate hunger, I'll say, let me ask you something. How long have you been hungry like this? Have you always had that? Well, no. Well, but how long have you been hungry to get filled? Oh, about 3 months. I say, where do you think that came from? I don't know. I say, what do you think about it? You know where you're saved? Oh, yeah. All right. You know where your salvation came from? Yeah, from the Lord. Well, where do you think this hunger came from? God? Yeah, it's God. He's trying to woo you and incline you. Now, you see, do you understand he started a process in you to lead you towards something? Yeah. I said, if my wife invites you home for dinner and you drive up in the driveway with your car, I see you out there, do I turn to my wife and say, lock the doors, Nancy, here they are? So, no. I said, how do you know? Well, I just know you. No, that's right, I wouldn't. Now, let me encourage you. If God is drawing you and inclining you and inviting you to be filled, do you think when you come there, he's not going to let you in and not going to do it? No. Well, then, can you believe that he's done the inviting? Yeah. Do you know you're hungry? Yeah. Guess who did it? God. What's he trying to do? He's trying to get you toward fullness. Do you think he'll do it? Yeah. Well, I can see that. Now, do you know? I didn't say wish. Think or hope? I said, no. Do you know you're saved? Yeah. Can you know you're filled? Yep. The same Spirit that gives you knowledge of salvation gives you knowledge that fills you. You get it from Him, not from me. I tell you how to be, pray that you will be, exhort you that you must be. But the last transaction between you and the Father, and you and the Son, and the Spirit of God, He loves you so much, He wants to fill you, not just to make you more courageous and able to face the brutal facts of life and the challenges that will happen, but that He might have more glory out of your life and equip you for service in the way that He has for you. This is normal for every child of God, but we have to push it so far so we'll say, to make normal understandable that it's not super normal. This is normal. And we go on from there, learning our walk in the Spirit. All right? Now, having said that, we're going to close. What step are you on? Today we're going to do. I'm going to close the service in about 1 minute. Any of you who are interested in this, being filled with the Spirit, I want to meet with you right down here. I will seek to answer any questions you have. No one's going to ramrod you. No one's going to trick you, trap you, nothing. We're here to help. We're here to be brothers and sisters to help. Where you are, I understand. Been there, done that. I understand. And if you have any questions about any of it, we'll seek to answer them. If some of you are at that point where you said, I know God will fill me this morning. I know He will. Not think, wish, or hope. Not even with desperate hunger, but now your hunger has become, I see it. He's the one been doing this. It's kind of been unnamed and unknown to me, but I've been drawn by God. And I don't know what it was. I keep looking around for more. This is what He wanted to do. Yeah. Oh, that's what I know. That I know He'll fill me. I didn't know much about it, but now I do. I believe. I can do that. We'll stand with you and pray for you. If you're not, you're in process. Wonderful. We'll stand with you and encourage you at any level. We will not pray for you ahead of time. We will not prematurely pray for you. We'll encourage you at every level. At every level. Answer any questions we can. And let you be brought into the fullness of His wonderful Spirit, which is the beginning of the normal Christian life. Let us stand. Heavenly Father, thank You for everyone in this room. Thank You, Father. Everyone has a potential, a plan, and a purpose that is not for anybody else in this room. Thank You, Lord. We understand that unless we're filled with Your Spirit, we never will fully fulfill what You have for us. Thank You for the open invitation. He has ascended to the Father's right hand and poured forth that now which you see. Be ye filled with the Spirit. And so, Lord, encourage each one. Even the man that's just having questions, let him come. Even the man that has doubts and rejects it, let him come. Let those that are hungry come. Let him to the thirst come. And the church and the bride say, come. In Jesus' name, God bless you. They're going to sing or play quietly for us. And you're welcome to go. You're welcome, and I'll meet you right here. We have any help to you that we can. God bless you. God bless you. Let this be the beginning of seeds planted in the hearts of many that say, that is my next priority. And on the back of that, on the back of that card, you can see the scriptures that you can do. And you can find what the Word of God says to you. And you can come into the fullness of this wonderful life. He died to save you. He died to fill you. God bless.